Hello, good morning, and welcome to my show. My name is Adela Wisdom, and I am running for Congress for United States Representative in the 3rd Congressional District of Missouri. And every day we do a different question. I answer it in a written response. I do a live video, and I follow up with the radio show, giving you the opportunity to call in and answer any questions, download this episode, listen to it later, or share with your family and friends. Today's topic is CAFO. A lot of people aren't familiar with CAFO. I live in a very rural area in Missouri, and so I am very familiar with CAFO. I understand what it is, but it's also a very controversial topic. Let me just tell you what it is. CAFO is concentrated animal feeding operations. And the question today is, how do I feel about CAFO? So I do understand that it's a necessary evil. I understand that this style of farming is necessary to put food on the tables of all of my fellow Americans. And I applaud, first off, the state of Missouri for listening to both the farmers and the neighbors, the community, and coming to reasonable rules and regulations. With that being said, like I said, I understand that this is a sensitive situation. But there's also situations that occur regarding CAFO that can make your environment, your water, your neighborhood a hazard or a dangerous situation. That's why it's really important for the community to voice concern issues immediately. And Missouri does a wonderful job about that. On my webpage, I have the Missouri CAFO laws. Just go ahead and click on it, and you can get more information about that. But it has to be constantly talked about, because there's natural disasters that could upset the way that waste is being stored. There could be leakage. There could be bleeped operators. So it's definitely something that we need to be diligent, whether we're the CAFO operator, whether it's the neighborhood, the community, or just people who care about the environment enough to make sure that our waters are not being contaminated and nor are the soils. So I'm very open to discussion on this topic about just being more educated about it. I know that this issue needs to constantly be on the table, constantly be monitored and updated. And I get it. I know that this treatment of animals is far from ideal, but I am eager to hear alternatives and solutions to the issues. Just because everybody can grow a tomato doesn't mean that we all do. It's kind of maybe a bad analogy, because it's a tomato. It's in a pot, soil and water and sunlight. But it seems pretty easy. But not everybody does that, and so they still buy their food at a grocery store. But even more than that, I have 8 acres, and I could get a chicken and pig and cows, and I could safely harvest and grow my own food. But that doesn't mean that everybody can, especially people that don't live in rural areas, that live in cities, and they have rules and regulations over the animals that they can have in their yard. I mean, I lived in San Diego, California, in Santee, and we fought just to have chickens, and at the very end of it all, they said no roosters. So there's regulations and how many you can have. And so people that are farmers sometimes don't have the land, and it's not an ideal place to allow free ranging animals. So they have concentrated animal feeding operations. And I've driven into a lot of these areas when I was campaigning, and they were clean. They were beautiful. And I was very shocked. I was like, wow, this is amazing. Now, I did not go into them, so I do agree that I need to know more about this topic, because I'm torn between feeding people and this process. I would probably go for feeding people. I have decided to reach out to several CAFO farmers in the 3rd Congressional District of Missouri with an open mind and ask for a tour to allow me to understand and give me the ability to ask questions and to address issues that your concerns could be, to just any myths possibly that surround this, to get past the rhetoric and the propaganda. So I'm just happy to have the opportunity to grow on this issue. And that's why your feedback is so vital and fully appreciated for me, my understanding. So Missouri CAFO's laws and regulations are designed to minimize these risks and are important for the long-term protection of the environment. Laws and regulations are also important to preserve and maintain strong and profitable agricultural industry for generations to come. Protecting our environment and agriculture industry is a shared responsibility, and doing so may have a positive impact on the environment, our food supply, and our local and state economies. Now, the people that are going to say, I just downright don't support CAFO, then buy organic. I don't mean to be mean, but a lot of people can't afford organic. And they go for the other meat, these CAFO farms. So I just think we need to be a little bit more understanding on this. We have, you know, CAFO farms can even extend to fisheries, you know, where we just raise fish. So a lot of people eat CAFO food and they don't know it. But the people that live around the CAFO farms, that is where I believe a lot of the legitimate argument comes from, because these people are affected by it. So like particularly here in District 3, District 43, which is for a state level, is half of all of Audrain County and half of Callaway County. And the reason I picked District 3 is District 43, I happen to be in District 43. But what's really interesting about it is 90% of the land over here is farmland. But the farmers are only 10% of the population. Means 90% of the people live in between all of these big farms. And sometimes their voices are not heard because these farmers have money. And they do. They lobby the government and they lobby people. And so we need to make sure, especially me, when elected into office, I want to make sure that I'm representing everybody. Not just the farmers, but everybody, even the people that live in between all of these CAFO farms. So like I said, I'm kind of open to learning a little bit more about CAFO. I know that I need more education on it. I've gotten a lot of feedback, and a lot of it just boils down to the cruelty of animals. I live on a farm. I don't know when you're going to say what's cruelty and what's not. Is it okay for me to raise a chicken and just eat their eggs? Or if I kill my chicken and eat the meat, has that become cruel? When you eat food, something dies. And you get over that a little bit more when you're a farmer. It's not like, oh, yeah, I'm happy to kill my animal. That's not what I say. I just know that this is food. And I thank the animal for, you know, giving me the opportunity to eat. And so people have become so disassociated from farming and from where their food comes from that sometimes they get blinded by, oh, this is cruelty. And the same people that were commenting on how cruel this is, I know, and I've actually had dinners with them, and I've watched them eat a steak. And I laugh because I'm thinking and giggling to myself, do you not realize that you are eating meat? And when you go to a restaurant, not all the meat you're getting there is organic. It's CAFO. So anyways, Dennis Bovair is joining me again today. I wanted to bring him on. He actually lives in a real urban neighborhood where he wouldn't have the ability to farm or any of that. All of his food has to come from a grocery store. And I was wondering what your opinion, well, let me say soft good morning, Dennis. And I just wanted to know what your opinion about CAFO is, and how do you feel about concentrated animal feeding operations?
I think they're a necessary evil like you do. But I think the key thing with CAFO operations is they actually have wastewater treatment.
CAFO, C-A-F-O. No worries.
That they have wastewater treatment. I've looked into it. One of the problems is the holding ponds for pig feces. The other is in California was a problem is they have concentrated feeding pens that are really huge, and they don't clean out the cow shit. So what ends up happening is the cows are standing
up to knee high.
We're a PG
show. You can't curse. We're a PG show. Okay. You can't curse. Sorry.
cow poop. So they
and
don't
I know
clean
you say
out
that
the cow
because you you've worked in wastewater, so it definitely comes hand in hand. Yes, and I want to add on to this, but I want to continue talking about the wastewater. One of the things that has happened is Missouri floods, and every so often we have a great flood, and this happened. We had huge floods, and some of these they were properly stored, but because of the huge amount of water, these wastewater treatment areas for holding the feces, they overflowed and they got into the creeks. And so you're right. I guess maybe having and making sure it's an efficient way to hold this waste and that it's properly disposed of.
Well, I think the thing is to treat it. Number one, holding ponds don't work for the same reason you just described. If they were treating this with a very simple treating system, then they could just let the water go in the treat and not hold on to it or use it for irrigation. But
You're right. You know, you're right, because I watched this show about a guy who had a concentrated, he had a CAFO farm, and they took the poop and mixed it with like fertilizer, and they made planting holders with them. So he created a business with the wastewater and was able to use it properly back into other things like his gardens. So
if there's one thing I learned about food processing, and I was in the fish business for years, as you know, is you have to figure out what you do with the waste stream and turn that into a profit. Thinking of it, which is what that farmer did. He realized that he could turn this into another money-making operation. If you can get paid more for your waste than the product that you're doing, I think you're going to have a very thriving business.
Now, when these accidents happen, like you're right, this treatment, the holding ponds are not going to work. They're inefficient. Now, if there's an accident, this is something I don't know, and this is why I'm kind of excited, because I want to learn a little bit more about the bureaucracy to it. So these people that when it flooded, were they then insured? Would an insurance then cover this natural disaster, or is this something that comes out of the pocket of the operator? But the environment's already affected by this, but is there an insurance policy? Do you know that?
Well, they do have flood insurance, but it's expensive and a lot of people don't have it. So that specifically in California, they talk about flood insurance and earthquake insurance. That's specific for that kind of disaster.
Even if it was just because the poop got everywhere, like who does the insurance pay off? The CAFO farmers? So it's like there's things I would like to know. Is there maybe like an insurance policy that maybe CAFO farmers put into in case there's a natural disaster that fund then goes back into cleanup? Or, you know what I mean? I get
that would make sense to me that they would pay into a fund that would be responsible for picking up their mess if there's a spill. And because you're going to contaminate area, and just depends on what you're contaminating. There needs to be soil samples taken and those kind of things. Also, you're going to have to take a while for the fish to recover from having a large dosage of nitrogen, which basically is what it is, into their environment. Yeah, that's the trouble. If you're trying to hold on to this stuff and wait for it to evaporate into a sludge, which is what they like to do, then you still have to deal with the sludge. But I just don't like big evaporation ponds. On top of that, all they smell. So
yes,
you can't control the odor. So that's another issue.
That was one of the things. Yes, the odor, and the odor can go downwind. And if you're in this and it flips around out here, and that's a really horrible thing. So one of the things that I would suggest for people, and I don't know how to get rid of odor. So the odor is big, but that's why we're trying to make sure that there's room, you know, that you're not like right on your neighbor. But if you are somebody who feels that there has been an accident or intentional, because like I said, there is bad operators. I'm not going to rule that out. If you do feel like that there is something funky or suspicious going on, call the Department of Conservation, have them come out and take soil samples. Speak up. Call your local representative. Here in Missouri, in District 3 and in District 43, you can call your state representative, which is Kent Hayden. You could call your state senator, which is Jeannie Riddle. You can call your U.S. representative, which is Blaine Lutenmeier, and tell them all that there's something suspicious going on and that you would like some action being took. This is why we vote for people, so that we hold them responsible for issues that are important to us. That's why I want to make sure I know more about CAFO. And no, I'm not bought off. I'm not getting any money from a PAC regarding CAFO or farmers. But a lot of the people that I just named that are in office have gotten money from big farmers. And so you need to remember that lobbying really does make a difference. And your voice, in order for it to be heard, you have to call. You have to know who your representatives are first and foremost. I ask people this all the time. Who represents you? Aaron got pulled over because he had mud on the back of his license plate. To boot, mud. Are you you're joking? I live in the country. It's dirt roads. It's mud. He said he couldn't tell if it was a V or a U, and the V came back opposite. And Aaron said, well, did you run the U? You know? And then, you know, we got brought up about, you know, I'm running for office. He goes, well, I'm ashamed to say I don't even know who my representatives are. And I find that to be truthful with a lot of people. But it's important that you know who they are, because of sensitive subjects like CAFO. And if something does happen, that you know who you can call in case of an emergency. Now, I will tell you, Dennis, that you are in California, and I do not think that your cows are happier than my cows here in Missouri. Our cows look pretty darn happy with all the green and swimming in little ponds and lakes that I see and creeks. And your guys are sitting in big piles of dust in Bakersfield, where you have no grass. They got a coverage. Half the time they got fans trying to cool the cows off. So I don't know. Are those considered CAFO?
I think, well, those farms are definitely concentrated. They're not grazing, and they're feeding them and, you know, to fatten them up. I would think that anything's really a queso if you're considering that it's a feedlot and that you're just trying to fatten up the cow for transport. But along what you're saying is there is operators that don't operate morally. For instance, they'd pump the pond out into a stream in the middle of the night so nobody knew they were doing it, you know, and that kind of thing. And that has to be policed, and people have to talk to them. And also in California, they had a problem with urban sprawl, like you're talking about, and there's actually a right to farm law, and that has to do with you build a housing development right next to the farm and then complain about the farm because you want them to move. You can't do that. They're protected by the California Constitution now. And example is in Lake
Hillikers. I was about to say it. Lakeside, the Ag Ranch. And I loved that Ag Ranch. I grew up from that place down the road from it my whole life. And I always went to Hillikers to get eggs because they're awesome. And you want to support local, and they're organic, they're natural. And what a great farm. And they literally built apartment complexes right next to it. And everybody who bought those condos or whatever they were, had to agree to not worry about the, you know, like, hey, we're next to a farm, we get it. Within 5 years of moving there, they all signed petitions and started lobbying Santee City Count or San Diego Count or Town Count. Not Town Count.
It was Santee.
Board of Supervisors. No, it was Lakeside. It was the Board of Supervisors. And they were trying to get them to close Hillikers, even though Hillikers has been there for over 200 years. That family had that actual farm had been grandfathered in.
Exactly. And, that was the Protect the Farmers Act that protects them and allows them to be in operation. I also buy my eggs from there all the time. But it's just, to me, it would be a sin not to.
Yeah, no, and that goes back to something that I talked about briefly. You know, you can support if you do not agree with CAFO and you are just against it. This is horrible to you. You will not stand for it. You don't have to buy that product. That's the beauty. You can start buying from a local farmer's market, from a local farmer. You can buy organic. You can work with the farmer and buy a cow, and they can raise it, and then you can have half of it or whatever. You can work to have a more environmentally friendly eating habit, but not everybody can afford it. Not everybody has these options, and we don't have the availability or the resources to farm this way. Okay, you're going to say, oh, but there's all this land. Okay, that land belongs to somebody. Or belongs, or it's up for sale, and not everybody wants to be a farmer. We have the farming generation is almost extinct. You know, we're being bought out by big companies. That happened out here in Missouri, right where I live. These used to all be local farmers, and now it's all big business farmers, and they take advantage of all these subsidies, and they don't grow anything, and they let the farm sit there for 10 years and collect the subsidies or whatever for this and grow these natural grasses, and they really do a lot to our food supply. Like corn, for instance. Most of the corn we grow here in Missouri goes to fuel or goes to feed. It doesn't go to feeding human beings. It goes to feeding the animals that the human beings are then eating. So it's more than that. It's everything is incorporated, and that's why I grow my own food, from my own fruit trees to my own nut trees to my own vegetables, my own herbs, my own animals. But I still go grocery shopping. I understand that. And what's beautiful about the grocery stores out here, like Mosier's, it has all farm raised and like farm raised here in Missouri. So most of the meat I'm buying out here, or all the meat I'm buying out here, comes from my state. That's not true in San Diego and California. The food you guys are buying doesn't come from California.
No, actually it comes from Argentina. Australia sells all its meat to China now. And I think there's a couple. I think Bolivia is another place that raises a lot of cows. But yeah, most of our food is imported. In fact,
that's my point.
And the stuff that we grow here domestically, the best of the crop is exported, and we get maybe the seconds or thirds, really.
No, and it is definitely a topic, and there's a lot of issues on it, whether it comes from holding ponds to the wastewater treatment of the feces and cleaning when they spray out the containers if they're birds or whatever, if they happen in a building, they got to clean it. All of that water runoff, I understand that's all very concerns. So soil sampling, making sure we protect our soil, making sure we protect our water. All of those are issues. And the insurance issue, I want to know, is there a plan in hand in case another natural disaster happens, a tornado comes by and destroys the holding container that the waste was in? Or is there things that are preventative in nature that we are doing by putting money into a fund? Those are the things that I'm going to be asking when I go to my CAFO tour. I'm excited about it. Like I said, I'm going to be reaching out, and I want to let the people know that I'm not going in there to try to bash CAFO. That is not my intention. My intention is to go in there to get a better understanding. I'm not going in there looking for on healthy treatment of animals. I am a farmer, and I understand what it takes to raise an animal. So I can see things in a different light. What you may seem as cruel and unusual may not be, because you're not a farmer. Sometimes education is the key. So I want to learn more, and I'm open to learn more. CAFO is an awesome topic. I think it's a little bit more micro, especially here in Missouri, because the people that seem to have a problem with it here in my state is because of soil and water and contaminants and odor and stuff like that. Where people that I've noticed in other states, like Dennis's state, California, seem to really come at the inhumane treatment of animals. So there definitely seems to be issues coming from different sides. And so I definitely am looking forward to learning more about it. I cover a different issue every single day. Go to my webpage, adellawisdom.com. Click on the Meet Adella and learn more about me. Click on the issues. And every issue page, I have the written response. I have a copy of the video on there. And then I have the direct link to the radio show so that you can listen to everything. You can read everything. You can watch my responses. Call me, email me. All of my contact information, including my address, is on my webpage. So if you don't feel comfortable calling me or emailing me, write me a letter. Register to vote. Your voice is your vote, and it matters. And I'm looking forward to being your representative. Go to my donation page. We've officially launched our campaign. So your donations are vital to helping bring change to Congress. Just so you all know where we're at so far, the incumbent is at $600,000. And the three of us haven't even raised enough funds to be acknowledged by the FEC, which is the Federal Ethics Commission, yet. I hope y'all can help me change that, and I can become an official candidate through the federal government and bring change to Congress that I want to see and that I know you want to see. And it doesn't matter if you don't live in Missouri, because people in Congress vote to change laws that affect and influence everybody on a nationwide scale. So thank you guys for your support and your time. Tune in tomorrow as we discuss another topic. Be safe, have a wonderful day, and enjoy your beautiful summer. All right, till tomorrow. Bye.